Good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio, and we're back for our third season. This is the first evening. And Intuitive Soul is about clearing a path to divine consciousness. This is your host, Lori Houston. And tonight, I've been at a workshop for most of the week, and it's on advanced light language. My guest tonight is Sandra Sweetman. And Sandra is all about her divine blueprint, and tonight's show is going to be about accelerating the shift. So welcome, Sandra.
Hi.
Okay, so you had mentioned that you've done a channeling recently, and it's really about what's happening in the times right now. So let's talk about that.
Sure. I was actually a channeling I did back in July, and what came through, this was a channeling from the Galactic Council. What came through was that this shift, this wave of change is already upon us. Many people, if you've been reading emails, you know, newsletters, there are many, many healers who are talking about this and who have mentioned that the shift is already happening. So we don't need to wait for 2012. When you talk to people, you look around, people's jobs are changing, they're changing partners, changing where they live. And I'm not just, I'll just move to a bigger house or whatever. These are major, major shifts. The message that came through was really strong, and it was the strongest message I've received. It was like, hey, please listen up, please pay attention. And it was interesting because they also said, please say this with conviction. It's like, we're not kidding. This isn't a suggestion. This is what is going on. And I'm actually very optimistic about it because the energy that came through, the reassurance was, it's like, this is a great tidal wave of change. If you embrace this change, if you're willing to go with the flow, this wave will take you to the greatest of great heights. You will soar to the highest you have ever soared in any of your beingness, in any of your consciousness. This is what this shift is about. It's about us getting out of those lower frequencies and moving up. And we're having this great opportunity to do this in this lifetime, not having to wait to incarnate to another lifetime or whatever. However, for people who are unwilling to do this, if you're unable, the assistance is there. So it's, if you say, I don't know how to do this, assistance is there. All you have to say is, show me how, bring me the people to assist me. That's why there's so many workshops going on. That's why there's so many books out. You know, every time you look, there's a new book about something. Well, it's not really new. It's like more tools for people because people need different tools. It's not that you have to read every book that's out there. So what it is, but for people who are unwilling to change, for people who want to stick to the same old and kind of dig their heels in and go, I'm not changing. It's that other person's fault. You know, I'm not going to do anything until that person apologizes to me and it wasn't fair and blah, blah, blah. For those people, it's going to hit them. This wave is like whitewater rafting strong. And it's the message was, it's not going to be pleasant. So this wasn't a warning. It wasn't a, oh my gosh, be careful, beware. It was simply be aware. Seize the opportunity for change. Dare to dare. Dare to make the shift. Dare to embrace those dreams that, a part of us goes, well, like that'll ever happen or whatever. Because the answer is yes, it will happen. So the opportunities are coming our way. There's going to be this block if we put up that veil, if we put up that block, if we refrain from opening the curtain to see what's behind. And that veil is getting thinner and thinner. It's so easy to pierce. You know what the ancient wise ones called the veil of illusion? That's like gauze these days. It's not concrete. So things are manifesting faster for people. And the thing is, it's whether it's good or whether it's something unwanted. It's like whatever you're thinking, it's coming through fast and furious. But that fury, when used properly, when directed properly, is passion. So it's like the greatest time for you to be living your passion. So you get to ask yourself, what makes my heart sing? What am I passionate about? What do I dare to be passionate about? And those opportunities aren't coming. They're here. They're happening. They're here. They're now.
Right. So being someone who, you know, considers myself not someone who, you know, necessarily purposely gets in my way, you know, it's not a conscious choice where I'm saying, oh, crap, I don't want to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've found these past, you know, 4 months quite challenging.
Right.
Because they're really pushing me to do, you know, the healing that needs to be done. So it's not always, and maybe it is as easy as saying I surrender, but I've tried that and it doesn't always seem to continue in that flow.
Well, it doesn't continue in that flow because first of all, for most people, when you say I surrender, there's that white flag image and there's that energy of I give up. I've lost the battle. I surrender. Right? It's even if you don't think that consciously, that energy is there. So you can bet for the rebel part in us, for the part that, you know, wants to cling to whatever, for whatever reason, is going to go, I'm not giving up. So as much as you know, a person says, I surrender to the divine, I surrender to the flow, it's conditional. You know, they may have signed the dotted line of, you know, surrendering to their divine path or whatever. But when you look, there's page 2 with all the conditions, you know, only if, and if, but whatever. And instead of saying I surrender, if you start thinking I allow, you give yourself permission. It's amazing what we don't allow. So we may have done all, you know, gone to all sorts of workshops, done all sorts of work to clear obstacles. So it's like, okay, I've taken, you know, the crud out of the way. But have you allowed something instead? You've taken out all the broken furniture. Have you allowed yourself to order new furniture? Having ordered it, have you allowed the delivery people to come? So when you look at where the gaps are missing in the allow department, that's huge. And I know for myself, when having done, you know, what I call a lot of soul homework, it's like, okay, something still isn't jiving here. This isn't working as smoothly and as easily as it could. What's missing? What was missing was the allow. Okay, I allow it. I allow it to happen. And there may be a part of us that goes, well, that's too easy. That's too easy. There must be more here. But who said it had to be harder? We bought into it hard to be harder. We bought into no pain, no gain. We bought into you've got to struggle to reach ascension, etc., etc. What it really is allowing ourselves to remember that we are these divine beings and that we're here to support each other. And as you allow that, as you allow others to support you so that we don't have this little independent, I can do it by myself person, right? Or the extreme of that is, oh yeah, we're so allowing it, we're doing, you know, absolutely nothing. And what's happening is we're expecting everybody else to do it for us. Well, that doesn't work either. So it's that center point, that balance. And as you can you allow yourself to be vulnerable? Can you allow yourself to ask, knowing that somebody might say, you know, no, you got to be kidding or whatever, right? And as you allow that, so those opportunities will come in your life. I feel very blessed. And people say to me, Sandra, you're so lucky. How did you meet that person to do whatever, wherever? And I go, it's not luck. I simply say I'm open to the universe bringing me the best possibilities with the easiest reality. But I still have to do my part. You know, we still have to get up and do our part to be part of that. It's not a passive thing. It's an active thing. But the difference is it's proactive instead of reactive. Usually our days are spent reacting to things, reacting to the idiot who just said something stupid to us because that's our judgment and our perception. And most of those times, it's just a projection of our own thoughts about ourselves, about how we're idiotic, right? So as you start to see that and as you allow yourself to unfold into the big picture, watch your world change.
Mm-hmm. And then there's also the, you know, limiting beliefs that we hold and the pains that we still need to release.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, which is why, thank you for such a wonderful opening for my infomercial moment for Heart Meta. One of the workshops I do, Heart Meta, is exactly that. It's giving people the time and the place and the opportunity to have that release, because sometimes we can't see it ourselves, right? Sometimes we need somebody else to facilitate an opening for us, because maybe we're so deep in it. It's like, how do I climb out of that pit? So during Heart Meta, what you're given is like a ladder, you know, to say, okay, walk this way, come this way. Nobody's picking you up. Nobody's dragging you out. You still have to do that part. You have to do your bit. We all have to do our bit. But tools are given to facilitate that shift. So recently, my Heart Meta has been focusing on accelerating the shift. It's like we're going through these stages. What tools can we have to accelerate it so it doesn't have to be so difficult? You know, you've got a really rusty hinge and you're cranking and cranking and trying to turn this thing, where all you need is a bit of oil, right, to facilitate that. And that accelerates the shift of that movement. We're the same, you know, we're the squeaky wheels.
Right. So what would be some of those tools? What are some of the things we can do when we're really feeling stuck?
When we're really feeling stuck, I feel the first thing to acknowledge is, crap, I'm stuck. Because usually we're not, right? Usually we're fighting it. We're going, no, I'm fine. I'm whatever. You know, I've done the work. I've just bought the latest book on whatever, and I'm working through this. And we go, I'm stuck. Can I allow myself to be stuck just for this moment? Can I just say, drat, I'm stuck, and so what? And for this moment, I'm stuck. As soon as we do that, it's, you know, we're so perverse. As soon as we do that, we go, well, that's fine. I don't need to be stuck anymore. You know, can I allow myself, having been stuck, can I allow myself to be less stuck? So a lot of that, if you've read the Sedona Method, that's very much the premise of that work in that book. It's that again, there's that wonderful word, allow. So acknowledging you're stuck and then acknowledging, okay, you know what? It's not working for me. My methods aren't working for me. Who can I go to? What can I read? Who can I see? Who can I go to for guidance to assist me to get unstuck? And maybe I'm going to hear some home truths that I don't really want to hear. Maybe it's going to be unpleasant. Maybe it's going to make me squirm. It's definitely going to make my shadow kind of twitchy. But never mind. I'm willing to go there. I'm willing to be uncomfortable, because it's only when you go visit the uncomfortable that you can dissolve it. If you're avoiding it for whatever reason, or just trying to tune it out. And very often we're doing that, right? We're being brave. It's like, no, I can handle this. I can manage, you know, I'm doing it. And that doesn't work for us, because all that does is set up a nice detour, a nice avoidance. And
spiritual bypass.
Spiritual, mental, emotional, everything. Physical bypass, right? And so we end up with a wonderful distraction. So what do? We bring in a wonderful distraction. Oh, suddenly all the business goes down the toilet. You know, nobody's coming. There's no money. We have this wonderful financial distraction. And I see so many clients who seem to be doing well, and suddenly, you know, they hit this wall and there's this financial calamity, because in life, that's one of the things we can't ignore. You know, you have to pay your rent, you've got to pay your mortgage, you need to put food on the table, clothe the children, whatever. So money is a great distraction.
Mm-hmm.
When you acknowledge it's a distraction, when you go, okay, thank you, whatever part of me that felt I needed a distraction, I'm not buying this. So what if I have money problems? I'm still going to go through and work through this anyway. Those start to dissolve the same way, because we've brought them in. The most difficult thing, I think, for us to understand is this true concept that our thoughts create our reality, and everything we're upset about in our lives is to do with us. It, you know, no matter who caused it, who's working on it, or whatever, if you're reacting to it, then it's yours. You mm-hmm. own it. That doesn't, you know, take the... it's not like we're taking away from the fact that somebody treated us badly or someone cheated us or whatever. I'm not saying that, you know, we're on his side or her side and not on your side. What I'm saying is these perpetrators are there because we've chosen to be the victims. And yes, I'm sure there are people right now who are standing up and stomping and saying, there's no way I chose to be a victim. There's no way I chose, you know, to have my father treat me so badly or whatever. But the bigger picture of it is that all those things are in our lives to learn. And it's not that we're masochists. It's not that we're, you know, we're to blame, because a lot of people don't understand the difference between responsibility and blame.
Yeah.
So they don't take responsibility, because what they do instead is they blame themselves and then they layer this guilt on. So then, of course, it's the other person's fault. Whereas when you take responsibility and say, okay, this is in my life. This is in my life for a reason. What am I to learn from this? And gee, if I can't figure it out, then I'm going to go have a session with someone, or go, you know, say, ask a friend, you know, any ideas. What all we have to do is do a Google search. You know, it's amazing what comes up, right? Again, using discernment, because a lot of what comes up isn't necessarily accurate. So that discernment button is really important to press that button. But so going back to the stuck thing, it's acknowledging you're stuck and then going, do I want to stay stuck? If I don't want to stay stuck, then it requires that I have some tools. Oh, I'm stuck in the past. What can I do to get rid of the past? What can I do to get off that? It seems like I'm on this circuit, you know, and it's going round and round. It's like being in a rowboat and I'm rowing myself around in circles, always ending up at this, stuck on this point of not being able to get into the past. So there are many tools out there, whether they're energy psychology tools, different methods for assisting us to get off that circuit. So part of recently I did a CD of sound healing, and one of the tracks is exactly that. It's breaking the ties that bind, because we may have ties that bind us to the past that we're unaware of. And so that's one method. It's certainly not the only method by any means, but that's one method you can use with sound healing to literally shift you off that frequency, kind of knocks you off. So if you think of an old-fashioned, you know, some of us are old enough to remember records where you actually had a needle in a groove. So where your needle is stuck in that groove, what that sound does is it gently lifts it up to go on to the next track. But it's important to feel secure and safe and okay with the fact that sometimes we need the assistance of others to do this. You know, if it was so easy that we could do it all by ourselves, then no one would be stuck.
Mm-hmm. And certainly finances right now seem to be almost a global issue where everybody is caught in the fear of what this is doing globally as well as in their lives.
Well, I would like to correct you on that, because I am surrounded by people who haven't bought into that fear, who are okay, who've had the best year they've had ever. So go figure. Mm-hmm. So whether it's they're winning amazing scholarships to go to university, or whether their business is really taking off, or whether they're manifesting all sorts of stuff that they never thought they could ever imagine, that is going on too. So yes, the proportion, if you look at the percentage of the people who are in fear versus, you know, those ones, yes, there is obviously, all you have to do is look in any newspaper, watch mm-hmm. any program, that is the case. But in other places, they haven't bought into that. You know, Hong Kong is a primary example. I mean, everybody there, I think I'm one of the few people who doesn't own stocks and shares there, because everybody is a day trader there. And with the demise of the stock market and everything, you know, people lost millions and millions. However, when you talk to the average person, they go, oh, you know, this is just like the whatever crash of whenever, and it's going to come back and it's fine. And so they have a very different attitude. And it's like, well, you know, if you play the stock market, you just got to ride it out.
Mm-hmm.
So the fear that's coming up is really, that's one of the tools. It's like for you to acknowledge, gee, I've still got this fear. So what can I do to get rid of the fear? Heal the fear, and then you won't need to have the challenges to prove you have a fear,
mm-hmm.
to show you have a fear. Because that's what's happening right now. What you said about, you know, your challenges being, you know, having to go through a difficult time. Absolutely. That wave of change is nudging everybody to say, you know, You thought you were okay, but actually you're not. You were kidding yourself. So we're just going to take off that robe of kidding yourself, and we're going to show you how you really are. And that's when you go, you know, and oh my goodness, and you know, I've got this fear. And I always like to think, and this sounds pessimistic, but actually it isn't. It's my way of dissolving fear. It's go and visit the place. What's the worst that could happen, right? When you do that and you dissolve the fear of not being able to handle the worst that could happen, then that fear is no longer there. Whereas when you kind of kid yourself and you go, well, that fear is still there. And it may not be there in your mind, but you can bet that's the person who's tense, has headaches, high blood pressure, fatigue, you name it, right? Because it'll come out in some other form.
Right. Let's talk about the shadow, because not a lot of people do shadow work, and there are a few of you out there. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what that means and how that impacts us.
Well, the thing that's the most important to remember about the shadow is that as we grow, as we're increasing our frequency, as we are running more light, our shadow is exactly proportional. So when I was younger, I used to think, well, surely if you're getting more enlightened, you're getting kinder or whatever, this other part is shrinking. No, it's like a yin-yang symbol. So it grows at the same rate. This doesn't mean you're going to be horrible. What it means is the shadow potential is there. And we see that with some people, you know, very famous people or whatever, who haven't dealt with their shadow, where it comes and bites them in the rear end when they're least expecting it. So when we have shadow aspects that we haven't dealt with, what happens is we're afraid to step into that puddle of responsibility because we see it as a puddle. It's kind of something messy. It's something scary. Instead of, we're afraid to be in the spotlight because heaven forbid when we're standing there in that spotlight, you know, this horrible aspect shows up. And so what happens is we keep repeating events in our lives that come from a place of shadow, only we don't recognize them. So when we are able to identify what's in our shadow, when we're able to clear out our core, what happens is we know when we're coming from that place, and we are able, we then have a choice to not come from that place. When we don't identify it, we don't know, we're just reacting. All right. So when you know you're coming, as you go to say something and it's coming from that shadow side, you'll recognize it. And then you'll have that moment, because the way our minds work so fast, we have lots of time to register and go, you know what? That's a part of my shadow. I don't need to say that. I don't need to brag. I don't need to boss. I don't need to whine. I don't need to, you know. And so suddenly we're aware of all these things, and we can choose. We can opt to come from a different place. So we dare to dare. We dare to stand up and be counted. We dare to be visible, because we're not afraid of what's going to happen if people see us.
Right.
So it doesn't mean you're any less vulnerable. It just means you're not afraid to show your vulnerabilities. That's right. The difference.
And I mean, the shadow can be equivocated to the ego.
Being egotistical is an aspect of our shadow. Our shadow is all the repressed and hidden parts of ourselves that we'd really, you know, pretend to ourselves that we don't have. So this is something that is created over our lifetime. And right. So these are all the hidden parts where we try to be good. We try to be nice. We try to be all these things. And we push those aspects of ourselves that we don't like deep into the recesses. The problem is those are all the landmines that can be triggered.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just because they're pushed away doesn't mean they don't get activated.
Mm-hmm. And so those are the parts of us that judge and need to be right.
Absolutely. You know, there are so many different shadow aspects, whether it's your ego, whether it's being judgmental, whether it's being superior, competitive, there are so arrogant, whatever. So these are all aspects that we have termed as negative, right? When really they're in absence. You know, hatred is an absence of love, just like cold is an absence of heat. arrogance is an absence of compassion and, you know, understanding. So it's, you know, when we don't understand that, okay, this person is acting this way because they simply don't have the life experiences. They may not have had the opportunity to learn. Maybe nobody's ever been nice to them. They don't even know what kindness means, right? So we lack compassion. So when we understand that, to show a person their shadow is to show them their light, their greatest potential for light.
Okay.
One more thing I'd like to add about that is when you clear out that core, you know, a good friend of mine calls it spiritual Drano. When you use the spiritual Drano and clear out your core and identify these shadow aspects, then we're able to run more light. When you're able to run more light, instead of it being like a tiny little, you know, sliver of light, it becomes this wide super highway of light, then we're able to manifest things of the light in the physical so much more readily, so much more easily.
Mm-hmm. And it allows us to identify the areas that still have that darkness, because you're saying that it'll still be equal.
Right. What happens is you heal it so that you don't have to come from that place. It doesn't have to stay repressed. You know you're bossy. You just choose not to be bossy. So when somebody goes out, a friend of mine did this, you know, one of her employers was about to go out and she was saying, oh, it's cold, put your coat on. And as she's saying that, she recognized immediately, oh, that's just my, you know, shadow aspect being bossy. She says, you know, go out whatever way you want. So in that immediate, you know, and that only took like a minute, she shifted from being controlling to uncontrolling, right? So had she not done that work, she wouldn't have recognized it. She would have just been controlling and bossy.
Mm-hmm. I guess the question becomes then, how do we start recognizing the shadow? I mean, obviously there's a part of us that we feel that pain when the shadow comes up. But there's a part of us that's very unaware of it.
Well, there are all sorts of books out there on the market. Debbie Ford is an excellent one that I recommend with all her books. There are people like myself and other people who offer workshops on the shadow. Interestingly, when I'm in Asia, you know, there are so many fears about dark energies and black magic and that sort of thing. The word shadow is very intimidating. So I call it embracing our true selves, because it is our true self. It's all our aspects, not just our nice, you know, pretty face. It's that other part of us too.
Mm-hmm.
It's which facet. It's the same energy. You know, I look at the energy of being stubborn, you know, so persistent or whatever. Well, the upside of that, the non-shadow side, is perseverance, your determination. You know, your willing steadfastness to stick to something. It's where it is in balance, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any tools to recommend for people that, you know, are not acknowledging or allowing their shadow, or to understand, you know, when they're in those aspects?
The first thing to look at is how often you feel irritated by other people. You know, that's such a good one, because most people are mirrors for us to show us our shadow aspects. So if you've had a day where, you know, it seems like everybody around was just so irritating and so annoying, that's a good heads up that, you know, your shadow's been at work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would do it. Okay, so let's look at some more tools to help accelerate our shift.
What's happening for people as well is this is an opportune time to put things to rest that have occurred. Mm. So this is a good time for introspection to look at, okay, what am I holding on to that I'm unwilling to let go of, or that I am unable to let go? Because those two are very different. Mm-hmm. We may be very willing to let go, but we may just not have had the tools to do so. So what event that has occurred in my life in the past is still bugging me that I wish, you know, hadn't happened? That when I think about, when I talk about, there's still this big charge to it. Because that also slows down. That slows us down from moving forward. So as we are able to do that, as we're able to put that into the past. And that might require a session with a therapist to work through with some good tools of energy psychology to be able to do that. It may be something that a person who hasn't had any experience with doing that kind of work by themselves, you know, they might need some more assistance than just working through that alone. As you do that, then there's more room to expand. There's more room to move forward. We can't move forward if we're always energetically dragging ourselves into the past with the yeah buts. You know, yeah, but if only, or, you know, that wasn't fair. Well, a very realistic thing is nobody promised us fair. So the first thing we have to do is to acknowledge it to ourselves that it wasn't fair and say, you know, I'm right, it wasn't fair. But so what? You know, where do I go from here, right? Because if I'm waiting for that person to acknowledge it wasn't fair, well, hell may freeze over first. So that ties into the shadow, because along with the shadow, we have these pain bodies that need to stay active. And the reason, it's not because we're masochists or, you know, we're stubborn and, well, actually we may be stubborn too, but, you know, we're unwilling to move forward. But sometimes we hold on to pain because that part needs the pain so that people will notice their life got screwed up. So it's like, I'm not going to be successful because if I'm successful, then, you know, that person over there will never, ever notice how much they hurt me. So I'm going to stay. And this goes on at a totally subconscious level. This isn't something that, you know, somebody's thinking of actively, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay hurt because this is the only way that person is ever going to notice the wrongdoing that occurred to me. Or this is the only way that person is going to change because they're going to see how much they damaged me. Well, actually, we damaged ourselves. So when we can acknowledge that hurt to ourselves, how many people go through things and they haven't had that big boohoo cry? They haven't had that big sob. They haven't allowed themselves to acknowledge it. And yet there's this continuous victim energy running through their veins, right? So it gives us freedom to be able to move through that and to say, okay, I'm not quite sure how I'm going to forgive this person or how it's possible, but I'm willing to go there. I'm willing to visit that. And as you do that, what happens is you regain your power, all that energy you're leaking to that, you know, unjustified event. The fact of the matter is we're in our own movie. We're the director. We're the producer. We're the best actor or actress, and everybody else in our movie is the best supporting or best unsupporting actor or actress. So as we look at it that way, as we realize that all these things in our lives, it's just like the giant school of wisdom, right? And as we look at it as these were opportunities for us to learn and grow, and yeah, it might have really sucked, it might have really hurt. That it's important to acknowledge that, but then we get to ask ourselves, what's next? Because there's not much point staying down here, feeling beaten up, hoping somebody's going to notice I'm bleeding, because all it's going to do is make me anemic, you know, and there ain't no blood bank coming to give me a blood transfusion. So where do I go from here? So when we are truly recovered, when we say, that happened, so what? They never noticed, so what? I noticed. So for some people, a simple exercise is, you know, still waiting for the mother's approval, still waiting for mom to say I love you or whatever. Write an open letter to your mother. This is what I'm waiting for. This is what I'm waiting for to hear all my life. All I wanted you to do was say blah, 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 yeah, 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 and so on. Don't have to send it to her, because what it is it's not about her. It's about us. We needed approval, right? Right. So as you do that, though, you purge that from your body. That's no longer there. So that's like one of the, you know, you move one of the chips over from the victim department to the absolutely awesome, not only survivor department, but then we shift it right up to the thriver department. I've thrived because of that. I've not only survived. Because obviously we've survived, because if, you know, if we hadn't survived, we wouldn't be here.
Worrying about it. Exactly. And going through it.
So we have to ask ourselves, how much time and money and everything else do we want to invest in this lament?
Right. Yeah. And we can get caught up in that.
Absolutely. You know, most people love the drama. So one of my things I often say to people is, you know, it's fine to like drama. Go to community school and take up acting, you know, use it constructively, do some improv, make it work for us instead of against us.
Yeah.
So as we look for, as instead of condemning ourselves, instead of either feeling sorry for ourselves or feeling bad about ourselves or wishing we were better or, you know, all those things where we torture ourselves on a daily basis, instead, if we were to just shift that around and go, okay, for whatever reason, you know, it's taken me this long to come to this moment, it's actually the perfect time. If I could have come to it sooner, I would have. It's that simple. So it's not been a waste of time. It is what it is. I'm right here. Now, what energy is needed to support me to change and move forward? What, you know, what do I require? So we've had a wonderful, fun week here doing light language being sacred geometry. Well, there's the energy of shape and color to give us yet another tool in our toolbox. You know, and there are many tools, right? Many. But most people are feeling helpless and feeling some to the point of feeling hopeless. It's like, you know, the end is near and, you know, there's not much point. There's every point. There's every point. I'm determined. I really do feel that in spite of all the crap that I've had in this life of hardship or challenge or whatever, I do feel that this is the best life I've ever had. Because, wow, I didn't have all those tools in another life to get me to where I am today that I've used in this life. And we're continuing to get them. You know, it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. I still probably want to talk more about this, but you also talked about the fact that a lot of times when we do certain types of meditation and stuff, you know, there's a lot of times where we anchor ourselves to the center of the earth. And I know you talked about this not being a good thing. So
it's not so much, I would like to reword that. Yes. It's not so much that it's not a good thing. It's just right now, especially for people who are energetically sensitive, it can set you off kilter. It can set you off course. It's like it's not a thing to line up to alignment because the earth itself is shifting so much and moving so much. Doctor who refers me clients, and when I'm in Hong Kong, I asked him, I said, you know, are you finding you're getting a lot of patients who are dizzy and nauseated? And he said, yes. And I don't know, you know, nothing's wrong with them. And I'm going, well, I know what's wrong with them because I'm seeing it with my caseload. And what it is we're trying to anchor to this earth, but the earth is wobbly, the earth is shaky, and it's throwing us off. So it's kind of like a top. If you touch your finger on a top, it's like it's jarring. So the best, we still need to be grounded. We can't be space cadets, you know, floating all over the place. And as much as some of us would like to be.
And some of us are.
the best analogy I got from my guides was instead of, you know, imagine you're a cruise ship in a harbor. Instead of throwing your anchor right down onto the bottom of that ocean floor and anchoring into it, tie it up to a buoy. Or for my American listeners, I know some of my clients who live in the States who are going to be listening to this, a buoy. Depends which where you live as to what pronunciation. Because when you tie yourself up to that, you're not going to float away. You're still going to be anchored, but anchored in a flexible way. And just that simple little adjustment has been enough for a lot of people where their nausea has stopped or their dizziness has stopped. So it's just such a simple thing, but it's understanding that we're dealing with frequencies all the time. We are energetic beings. It's all quantum physics. And so the quantum physics of now is, it's like you trying to listen to, you know, whatever radio station, and I won't say the numbers because it's most probably somebody's radio station there. So I'm going to call it, you know, ABC. And, you know, you think that that's the perfect alignment where you're going to get the best signal, but you know, halfway through the day, it's ABD. It's not ABC. So when you tie up instead to that floating object, you'll still be in the vicinity, and then you can fine-tune your energies. So one thing I suggest to people, which is a very simple exercise to do, is as you wake up in the morning, set the intention that you are in harmony with. You're asking to not be the frequency of, but in harmony with wherever you live, whether it's the beaches, the West End, you know, France, wherever, you are in harmony with that place, Mother Earth, and all the universes, because all these energies are configuring right now. That's what the great alignment of that core is for 2012, right? Is that all, everything will be in this new alignment, which is actually an old alignment. And so every day as we shift, when I am over in Hong Kong, where I live is on an island. It's very quiet, very different vibe from where I work, which is in the city. So just coming across on the ferry, because I'm very energetically sensitive, I make that little adjustment. So it's like fine-tuning your dial on your radio so that you are in the frequency that's most harmonious for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that stops that jarry feeling or that dizzy or just feeling off. And this has affected people to the point where their digestion's been affected. You know, they're feeling, you know, they're not digesting properly, or they're feeling nauseated, or, you know, some very significant physical symptoms, or dizziness, ringing in the ears.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're talking a little bit about 2012, and I know that you sort of feel and have been told that the time is now. So are we to expect then that the shifts that are happening now are to continue to 2012? Are they continue after? Should we, you know, not be grounded to the earth? Should we be doing the buoy or the boy? You know, What are we looking at?
I'd love to have, you know, that proverbial crystal ball and say, I predict, but hey, I'm the lady who says I never say never. I am not a predictor.
Right.
What I have been, you know, with the guidance that I have had with my channelings is that, yes, this shift has already occurred and we are integrating the shift now. When I say accelerating the shift, it's actually, it just would have been way too big a mouthful to say we're actually accelerating the integration of the shift that has already occurred.
Okay.
And so this will continue. And yes, there are people leaving in droves because they're not up for that shift. There are people who may feel that, you know, they're not part of that equation and, you know, they're not coming along. So I've certainly seen many people are experiencing that with loved ones departing from this planet very suddenly. So it's the time of change is upon us, but I do see it as positive change. We are making a difference. And the most important thing for us to remember is when we go, oh, you know, what's the point? What's the point? What's the point of my doing this? What, you know, what difference does it make? Right? Mm-hmm. Well, if we all make that little difference, we're all part of that whole. And this is where I feel it's very promising when I see the changes that are occurring in the different places where I work, with people's attitudes, where people are coming much more from a place of service, looking at what they can do for other people, how much you can contribute. It's not how big a, you know, how fat a check you can write to a charity. It's how open is your heart? How much room is there in your heart for everybody else? How much can we assist people in the ways that we can? So it's learning not to give what we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, feeding, you know, you got to pay, make sense of your own life in terms of finances. It's not much point in borrowing money to lend to somebody else. You know, that's called a bank, I think. but it's giving what you have. So sharing that meal, sharing that house. Sharing. Mm-hmm. Sharing is, you know, focusing on what we have. Too much time, you know, too many of the times people focus on the doom and gloom part, right? So mm-hmm. coming from a place of our thoughts create our reality, well, what are we going to feed? We're going to feed more doom and gloom. Whereas when you focus okay, there's some gloomy stuff going on here. What can I do to facilitate change in that group? How can I make a difference? Might be very small, but differences are made. And then as you focus on what you have, as you come from that place of gratitude, yes, I know some people say, well, you know, that's so pragmatic and, you know, this is, you know, so corny or whatever, but you shift your vibration. When you come from a place of love, you're automatically in the have department, not the have not department. And then when you share that, that more than, you know, I can't say how many times it's multiplied by, mm-hmm. because it's not just doubled, it's, you know, it's to the nth power. So as you have a bad day, if somebody has a bad day, if you go to sleep at night and you go, well, you know, that this yeah happened, what good thing happened? Well, maybe the only good thing, it was such a crappy day that maybe the only good thing that happened was you got through the day, you know, and you're out of that job and you're no longer there. And then you get to ask yourself, what price do I pay to go into that job? What price do I pay for that paycheck? And if it really is that terrible, if the people are all out of integrity, what am I doing staying there? And you may go, well, you know, that's the only job I've got. I've got to be grateful I've got work. Absolutely. Be grateful. Well, shit, at least I got a paycheck, you know. And so, and I can afford to pay my bills and I can afford to this and that. But the next thing to ask is, okay, what do I want to do instead? And if the answer is, I don't have a clue, then you get to say to your guides, well, give me some suggestions here. So go to sleep at night and go, and you can say, I don't have a conscious clue, but somewhere deep in my heart, I do know everything. I do know what I want. I do know what I like. So where do I want to go from here to get to that place? But the irony is, it's not about getting to that place. We're always seeing it as, you know, something over mm-hmm. there, the unreachable, whatever. It's being in that frequency that place comes to us. Mm. That's the allowing. That's the most difficult thing that's so easy. Kind of ironic.
Mm-hmm. We're back to the beginning. Right. The allowing.
Allowing. Yes. So that's definitely my buzzword for this year.
Hmm.
It's amazing how many of us find it very difficult to allow.
It's true. Do you have any tools to help us to allow?
That's an interesting one. The first thing we have to do is to release all the times we haven't allowed and forgive ourselves for it. Because, you know, those are the if only I had. So a very simple way to do it is placing our right hands. And of course, if we had a camera now, it'd be easier. But our right hands on our chest, right over the heart chakra, with place your hands so that your thumb is right in the middle. There's that little dip in between your collarbones, mm-hmm. That little dip, it's actually called your sternal notch, and having your thumb flat, and then just closing your eyes and saying to yourself, all the times I failed to allow opportunities in my life, all those times are over. All the times I failed to allow myself to succeed, all those times are over. And I survived. And right now, I allow all the assistance possible of 100% light, of 100% for my highest good to come to me. I allow it because I do deserve it. I allow it.
Mm.
Feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Feel it now. Allowing. I allow change. Oh, that's a scary one for a lot of people. But, you know, that's most probably a whole other program.
Maybe, yes. Yeah. I don't know what it is about change. I think I've had about a billion lives in this one. The change seems to be the only thing that is constant.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. So when we can release the need to have things the same.
Is it because we want control?
Well, it's not just control, it's security. Mm. It's safe. We feel safe. Same old, even if it's, you know, the same and boring and old and decrepit, at least we know it. So it's that wonderful, you know, unknown, right? The fear of the unknown. But when you open yourself up to the possibilities of growth, see, you know, when you start to change the word from change to growth, I allow myself to grow. How tall are you? Like, how big do you see yourself now? Are you the size of a pea, or are you the size of, you know, this planet? Oh, there's something to think about, right? Because how do we perceive ourselves? And this has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with ego. Because chances are the people with the biggest egos are the ones that feel the size of a pea, because you need the big ego to compensate.
Mm.
You know, when you can stand in your empowerment, not force, not power, but you stand empowered, you feel equipped to make a difference in this world. That's standing tall. And then when you realize that every soul has that, that we're no greater than, no smaller than any other person, and that we're all fragments of this divine picture, this big jigsaw puzzle called beingness. It's more than life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those people that, you know, sees way beyond the box of this life. That's when it's actually very humbling. You know, you're this tiny dot in the universe, but you are the universe. So it's like, well, gee, I better start acting like it. I better stop pretending I'm small. So, you know, I always, people laugh when I talk about being woo-woo, you know, as an intuitive person or somebody who works metaphysically. And a friend of mine in Hong Kong, she and I decided we're no longer woo-woo, we're wow-wow. You know, it's like, because it's like, wow, we don't have to pretend we're small anymore. But can you stand tall with humility? Can you stand tall and be of service? Can you stand tall and be accountable? Can you stand tall and have integrity?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is absolutely, of course. But, you know, takes a little bit of work to get there, to understand what, you know, what it is.
When you talked about power, how do we get back the power that we've given to others?
Hey, again, this wonderful, you know, I always, this is so tongue-in-cheek of me with my kind of, you know, crazy humor with SAT, Sandra's Awesome Technique, you know, as opposed to all these different techniques around. But putting your hand, this is a very, very powerful position. This, what I call this heart metta position, because when we have our hands on our heart here, our high heart, our anatomical heart, with our thumb right in our throat here, this actually anchors our soul into the, brings our, really connects our soul into, you know, the higher chakras, into these lower ones. And the first thing, which I'm, you know, we can do right now for anybody listening, just simply closing our eyes and paying attention to these words. All the times I ever gave my power away to anyone, all those times are over, past, and history. And I have survived. And I forgive myself for giving my power away to anyone. I forgive myself. And now, with your eyes still closed, imagine that there's a line of people ready, waiting to give back to you what you gave away, your essence, your power. It's yours. No one else is yours. So each person is coming with a gift for you, of your essence. Take it back and say thank you. And there may be one or two people who kind of want to hold on to it, and you get to say, thank you, this is mine. Give it back to me now, because you have your own. see that person in their beauty, with their essence complete. And take back your essence, reclaim it, so that you are the full flavor of you. And if you find there's a huge long lineup, you know, it goes right around the building, then simply press the fast forward button, because we can do that energetically, so that each person comes forward and we thank them. We thank them for those opportunities to grow that they gave us. But we're no longer small, and we're no longer pretending to be small. And this means that we have to own our stuff. We have to be responsible. But we can be. We're fully capable of it. And as the last one goes, we say thanks. Storing all this beautiful energy right in our heart space. And for some, we may want to shift some down to our solar plexus so we really anchor in that feeling of being empowered. Opening our eyes to be fully present in the here and now. Here and now. So that's a simple, very simple meditation, but it's very, very effective.
Yeah,
to do.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Responsibility. It's a word that a lot of people have an issue with.
Yes.
But it's really empowering.
Absolutely. You know, I read in a book, which is, you know, when you think of our language, we say the burden of responsibility, right? Everything is like, oh, this burden. But I've read it in more than one place where the definition of responsibility is the ability to respond in any given situation. And when you look at it that way, of course we want to be able to respond appropriately. Who wouldn't? So suddenly it's like, yeah, give me back this responsibility. But mostly we don't want it because it's so much easier to point the finger at somebody else and say, well, you know, if they hadn't done this, or if she hadn't done that, or if he hadn't done that, or if only, right? And so it takes away, we project all our stuff onto other people. Because, you know, most people don't want to acknowledge that, well, yeah, you know, this is here for me. This is my movie for me to learn. So as we own it, if you can ask, okay, this situation in my life that I'm having a hard time with right now, what is it trying to tell me? What am I to learn from this? I don't have to be, you know, all starry-eyed and go, oh, this is so wonderful. Well, you know, if it's hurting, it's not wonderful at all. Let's call, you know, no point kidding ourselves. It could really be horrible, but even though it's horrible, we still get to say, okay, why is this, you know, why, first of all, why is it horrible? Why does it feel horrible? Why did I take it personally? This person, you know, walked out on me and left. Well, how about the person just walked out? And yes, left, didn't leave you. They left to go to another relationship or just go fly a kite or whatever, right? But our ego will say, me, you know, and then we, you know, but why is that in our life? That's in our lives to deal with abandonment. So that when we clear all our abandonment issues, when somebody goes, we can say, see ya, that was nice. That was fine. Because when we've healed the hurt, we no longer take it personally. But when the hurt is still there unhealed, well, all the, you know, all our best friends, the, you know, you could be reading, you know, newspaper, do not take this personally. We're still going to take it personally because it feels personal.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes back to allowing. As we allow ourselves to shift through these beliefs, because that's the part. It's all true. They're just different levels of truth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's true I felt hurt, but I no longer need to feel hurt now.
Right. Well, an amazing show. Why don't you tell people how they can get a hold of you?
Okay, to get hold of me, the easiest way is to go through my website, mydivineblueprint.com, spelling it D-I-V-I-N-E, Sometimes people say they can't get a hold of me, and then I see it's been spelled incorrectly. Mm. Because I travel so much, that's much easier than by phone. And I also have a blog site, which is everydayintuitive.com, where there's some articles there to read, and there's also a contact page for that. And of course, there's wonderful Facebook. I have my Facebook group, my Divine Blueprint, and you can get hold of me through that. And yes, you can even follow me on Twitter. Somebody convinced me to Twitter. So my Twitter name is Global Assistant. So you can find me that way.
Beautiful. Well, Sandra, again, thank you very much.
My pleasure. I thoroughly enjoy these and look forward to the next one.
Me too. All right. And right coming up next is Stuart Wilde.